Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Scalabro Country, the Virus Edition, aka the Pandy Pots,
aka Two Jews,
No Harm in Killabruce,
aka Pandy Pod, Zero Dads, Super Dogs, Garvey Floorwax, and the Pantheon Grows. Do we already do that one? I don't care.
Who knows?
It's James Scregman, and we are coming down to the wire on these Pandy Pods. This has been an amazing run.
I think we have six left.
I have a handful left. I don't know how many we have left, but this has been such a joy to be able to do these for you guys every day for a year and 3 months. I didn't think we could actually get to this. We're going to be doing the Patreon, Sklar Brothers Patreon, starting in July, and you'll get a chance to get a Cheap Seats episode all to yourself, extra clips and audio from our interviews with our
view from the Cheap Seats guests.
Plus a little bit of these types of Pandy Pod type.
Like once a week, we'll do sort of.
We'll try and get you a couple of those a month too, just for $5 a month. So we'll let you know how to sign up for that as this goes. Going to get that all set up. And I think you probably look up patreon.com, look up Sklar Brothers, and it will be there. You can sign up for $5 a month. It's a great way to support us. We hope as many of you guys as can comes over to that. But we got a story right now, so let's jump into it. And we've talked modern art on the show before, but
everyone's criticism about modern art is, I can do this.
Yeah, but you didn't.
I can do that.
Yeah, but you didn't.
I could put two blocks of orange on a canvas and sell it for millions of dollars. I could do that.
Yeah, but when it was made in relation to
a reaction to.
It's a reaction to. What was it a reaction to? And what is the mood that it creates?
And it is just two orange squares, but is it just two giant orange squares?
No, because it's like faded in the edges and it makes you feel warm inside and it makes you think about summertime or it makes you think about the fall, whether you know it or not. What they've done with something that seems so simple. And as comedians who just stand on stage
and just talk, people are like, I could do that.
I could do that. I make people laugh around the office all the time.
Jay and I were doing this great show in LA, which we're going to start doing a lot more of, called Supernova. It's an outdoor show in the round. It was so much fun, but I was just sitting out there. I was watching Pete Holmes perform before us and Todd Barry. And I was watching both of them and I was like, man, this is hard what we do. What we do to get this group of people laughing, the amount of work it takes for you to build your voice, craft it in such a way, and then present it to people. It just is two steps to walk up on that stage. Anybody can walk up on that stage, but can you captivate that audience?
Can you
for that
command
long?
A room in the round of 100 and some odd people in the lineup of other huge
Everybody's
titans?
Like, I can do that, but you can't. And that's exactly what this is all about.
So I remember when, like, the Moldy Peaches mm-hmm. came out with their album.
I was just playing that for Daisy the other day.
So it was early 2000s.
Lo-fi, maybe 2000. We went to go see them.
And it was really raw, and it sounded like it was recorded on a tape recorder, and it sounded a little out of tune. The guitar wasn't totally toned. It felt like the album, compared to like albums like Yankee Hotel Foxtrot and even the Shins' first couple albums, it felt like it wasn't produced. It felt like it was unfinished. But there was something in
beautiful.
The songs, right?
Beautiful.
There was something in it. It was catchy. It stuck with you.
It's like Daniel Johnston.
They created a mood. He created a mood. Like, to me, the Moldy Peaches was New York City, like gritty New York City, like the Bowery, like where there's trash on the street and there's lofts and there's creative people living. And now, you know, later in after the 90s, that became Brooklyn.
Totally.
Or Queens even now,
right,
because Brooklyn
right.
is so gentrified.
So we've got a story that's going to test the limits of what we believe to be true.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm
right.
saying?
Well, before we get into that, the art world, well, we'll get into that. We'll get into what it relates to, because there was a Broadway show that we watched.
Sure, we talked about that.
Let's take it. Okay, Salvador
Guerrero,
a 67-year-old artist from Italy. At a time in the art world when everyone else is like
going through a difficult time with the pandemic,
a hard time for art in the pandemic. Who's buying it? No one's really making that frivolous purchase anymore.
So this dude achieved a pretty remarkable feat here,
which, by the way, should be impossible to do. He sold, ready for this, an invisible sculpture to the sum of 15,000 euros, 10,570 pounds. It's about $15,000,
roughly.
Did he sell it to his imaginary friend, I asked?
Holy crap. This is a scam, right?
Or it's brilliant. It's a scam or it's brilliant.
I am not sure which one it is. It's art. It definitely is art.
For nothing.
Right.
For nothing. Originally, the price was set between 6,000 euros and 9,000 euros.
So they were there was a bidding war for
right. It went up. It went up. But it kept receiving more offers. The price increased until he ended up selling for the higher amount.
If you can sell an invisible sculpture for $15,000,
the emperor's clothes.
Go sell it.
The emperor's new clothes.
Go sell it.
I love the art world pushing this up and up. This is the art world's version of an NFT.
No fucking talent.
Or not for touching.
There you go.
Garo's sculpture, christened Io Sono, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am nothing.
But you aren't.
Is a, quote, immaterial sculpture.
Which in so many words means it does not exist.
Or that if it did exist, then it only exists in the mind of the creator.
Wow.
Or in the mind of the beholder.
That's right.
With many art skeptics criticizing the artist's curious creation. But Garo's response is that he has not sold nothing, but he has sold, in fact, a vacuum.
Is that what he sold?
A dirt devil.
There you go.
This is either literally the most brilliant concept
or the shadiest concept ever perpetrated on the art world.
Where do you put a sculpture like this?
I mean, you want to display it prominently. Do you get the stand or is it an invisible stand?
I don't know. You always have room for it. That's yes. The one thing. I'd say front lawn of your estate.
Or maybe in the shed in the back. I don't know.
Where's the art piece? It's actually...
You can't see it? You can't see it. That's what I would say to someone. You can't see it?
And they're like, no, I can't see it. That's, well, you're right. No, you're right, because we actually have it in the shop. It's being polished.
Honey, you moved it?
No, it's being polished.
Okay,
and then it's going to come back.
Great.
He explained that the vacuum is nothing more than a space full of energy.
That sucks everyone's soul into it, like Tucker Carlson.
And even if we empty it, there's nothing left, according to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Heisenberg?
That nothing has weight. Therefore, it has energy that is condensed and transformed into particles that is into us.
Okay, that is some bullshit
This guy's trying to sell like
this
no
guy's
work.
Like,
this guy was like, hey, man, you got to make another sculpture in the next year. And he's like, I can't think of anything. All I can think of is nothing.
There we go.
Okay.
It'll be there Tuesday, and you have to sign for it,
right?
Make sure you're around between
9 a.m. and 5 p.m.
to give you the window.
The Italian artist continued, when I decide to exhibit an immaterial sculpture in a given space, that space will concentrate a certain amount of density of thoughts at a precise point.
I can't even listen to this guy.
Creating a sculpture that, from my title, will only take the most varied forms. After all, don't we shape a God we've never seen?
That's actually a good point.
We don't pay for God.
No one's charging you to own a piece of God. And you don't display God in your house, although some people do.
Well, hang on a second. Mega churches do end up kind of charging
sizable donations to have a little piece of God.
So they kind of do. The artist points out that this work cannot be displayed just anywhere. It must be located in a space measuring about 150 by 150 centimeters.
That's free from obstruction. Oh, give me a break. You can't now say that it's got to be this distance.
Lighting and climate control being optional.
Oh, fuck you. I don't want to hear that.
As you can see the object anyway, right? You can see it in your mind's eye.
Yeah, but like maybe I only need 120 centimeters by 120
centimeters.
All
of this will be detailed in a signed and stamped guarantee certificate from the artist.
So essentially you're just buying a certificate.
You're spending $15,000 on a certificate.
And climate control and lighting on a certificate.
For authentication.
That's right.
Why authentication?
Authentification.
Why wouldn't he go in and just tell him that it needs certain lighting?
I want to bring nothing.
I love that he said it doesn't, you know, you can light it however you want. I'm like, why aren't you going all in on this?
Yeah, that's right.
And climate control. Why back off of the nonsense in this sense?
Jay, he's got another invisible sculpture. Aphrodite Piange. Aphrodite Cries being exhibited in New York. Why is it being exhibited anywhere?
A piece. It's another immaterial sculpture, which supposedly rests on a circle drawn on the ground, which is the only thing that's visible. And the artist claims with these works of art is he has started a new, small, authentic revolution.
I can't believe he's got another one. I cannot believe he's got another
one. And that it's being displayed. How soon before it gets into the Whitney? Because it's never getting into the Met, right?
It'll never make it into the Met.
But the Whitney, I could see the Whitney.
That could be in the lobby of the Whitney.
His first invisible sculpture. So there's another one.
Oh, God.
We're going to tell you what that is on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. Set. Go. Set.
Go.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Hope you guys sign up for the Patreon, the Sklar Brothers Patreon. That's the next phase of what we're doing here. It's been so much fun to do these. We're going to jump back into this. Invisible sculpture. An Italian artist, 67 years old, made an invisible sculpture.
Called his first one was Buddha in Contemplation. It was placed 25 meters from the entrance of the Gallery d'Italia in Milan's Piazza del Scala.
I cannot believe this. These are like big art places.
Yes. Art places. I call them museums.
Important art things.
Among other things, there's a large canvas of Garo. Buying this guy's immaterial work must feel like buying Jets season tickets.
You spent money, but you get nothing in return.
And someone's trying to tell you that it's going to be special.
It's worth it, but it's not. It's not. You're going to get into a fight with someone over it.
So this does remind me of the play called Art that we saw on Broadway.
Alan Alda, Alfred Molina, Victor Garber, the guy from the Captain from Titanic.
Right. And Alan Alda buys a painting. Remember this?
Blank canvas.
Blank canvas.
Just white.
And it's considered high art.
Three guys debate the entire play.
Whether he got art or whether he got scammed. And then it becomes a discussion about life.
And now it's happening in real life.
On some level, then it is art.
That is art.
It's forcing you to have a discussion.
The guy who brought the sculpture.
The guy who bought the sculpture.
It's not a woman. It's definitely not a woman.
Yeah, there's no way it's a woman. I could be wrong, but this does feel like a dude.
It feels like a dude move. I want to hear from this guy.
Does he think he got something special?
Or is there a tinge of regret in his voice? How much is he trying to use this invisible sculpture to get laid?
Did Donald Trump buy it?
Full of lies, believing in his own bullshit,
never backing down, trying to show you that something's there when it's not there. Should be a gift to him.
Everybody around him says that it's there for fear that
he'll... We all see it.
We all see it.
You're telling us it's right there.
That's amazing. This sculpture that you said is there is there.
Or is he not like Trump, the guy who bought it, and he has an inkling that he's an idiot, but he's like, you know what? I can't help myself.
I need to know. And I'm going to say this. What if this guy who bought it doesn't exist? He's invisible.
So you're saying that the artist... made this thing, made up a fictitious person who, quote unquote, bought it to try to generate hype and information
for the next invisible sculpture
that he's not going to make.
That would be art. That would be an artful way to scam people out of their goddamn money. And that is a show, guys.
There you go.
Stay connected. Stay protected. Don't get infected. This is not a hoax.
But we got the jokes.
Join the Sklar Brothers Patreon. We love you. And we are out. La-di-da. La-di-da-di-da-di-da. La ti da da da. In my car. Starburns Avenue, a podcast. A podcast network.